speak, sinners will be saved. Saved soul will be sanctified. Sanctified soul will be filled with Holy Ghost. Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for this night. We worship your name because you are able to do more than what we can ask. We pray that your spirit will take over this arena tonight in Jesus' name. Thank you because of answered. Jesus' name we pray. Jesus' name we pray.
Shall we pray? Our eternal rock of ages, we thank you. Bless your name for tonight. We exalt your name. Even as we are here to receive from you, you bless us in Jesus' name. So I want to start with the session of choruses. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Praise ye the Lord, from whom all blessings flows. From whom all blessings flows, from whom all blessings flows. Praise ye the Lord, from whom all blessings flows. Praise him forevermore. Let us praise him. From whom all blessings flows. Praise ye the Lord, from whom all blessings flows. Praise him forevermore. Let us praise him. Marvelous in our sight, precious to our soul. What the Lord has done for us, it is marvelous in our sight. Marvelous in our sight, precious to our soul. What the Lord has done for us, it is marvelous in our sight. Marvelous. Live Jesus, I am. Live Jesus, I am. Lift him up for the world to see. For he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto him. Lift him up. Lift Jesus, I am. Lift Jesus, I am. Lift him up for the world to see. For he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift him up. Lift Jesus, I am. Lift Jesus, I am. Lift him up for the world to see. For he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift him up. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow him. Follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere he leads me. I will follow him. I will follow him. Follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere he leads me. I will follow him. Follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow him. Follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere he leads me. I will follow him. Follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere, everywhere. I will follow him. Follow. I will follow Jesus anywhere he leads me. I will follow him. Anywhere he leads me, I will follow him. Who will be the next? Who will be the next? Who will be the next to follow Jesus? Who will be the next to follow Jesus now? Follow Jesus now. Will you be the next? Who will be the next? Who will be the next? Who will be the next to follow Jesus? Who will be the next to follow Jesus now? Follow Jesus now. Will you be the next? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Righteousness, every other thing shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Every other thing shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus, the same yesterday, today and forever, is the same today and mighty to save. Jesus, the same yesterday, today and forever, is the same today and mighty to save. Jesus, the same yesterday, today and forever, is the same today and mighty to save. It is wonderful to know that Jesus died for me. Wonderful to know. It is wonderful to know that Jesus died for me, wonderful to know. My Savior died for me. My sins were washed away, hallelujah. It is wonderful to know that Jesus died for me, wonderful to know, to know. My Savior died for me. My sins were washed away, hallelujah. It is wonderful to know that Jesus died for me, wonderful to know. It is wonderful to know that Jesus died for me, wonderful to know. My Savior died for me. My sins were washed away, hallelujah. It is wonderful to know that Jesus died for me, wonderful to know, to know. My Savior died for me. My sins were washed away. Died for me, wonderful to know. Thy word is life, thy word is spirit. Write thy word, O Lord, on the table of my heart. Thy word is life, thy word is spirit. Write thy word, O Lord, on the table of my heart. Thy word is life, thy word is spirit. Write thy word, O Lord, on the table of my heart. Thy word is life, thy word is spirit. Write thy word, O Lord, on the table of my heart.
The Spirit of God will confirm that in Jesus' name. You are all welcome to this Bible study tonight in Jesus' name. Whenever we come together like this, we do have some friends and neighbors that come here for the first time to worship God with us. It's our custom to welcome such and identify them. So wherever you sit down tonight as a newcomer, we'd like you to raise up your hands so that we can give you our pastor's or GS greeting. Wherever you sit, or can you rise up on your feet so that we can identify you? We are still expecting the rest. You are all welcome in Jesus' name. Our GS and the entire church are very delighted that you are here. And we want you to please don't make tonight the last time of your coming. As God has been using our pastor to be a blessing to us, not only here, all over the world, the same Lord will make him a blessing unto you in Jesus' name. The ushers are around you to give you a pamphlet. Receive graciously from them, fill in the information correctly, and after that, return back to the ushers. You can please sit down. When you have collected, if we have collected, please. When you have collected the information to fill, please, you can rise up that they can see you, those who stood up before. As I've said before, this is Deeper Life Bible Church Worldwide Headquarters. And by the grace of God, every week in this church, we do have three unavoidable meetings. And on Sunday, we come here for Sunday tribunal worship by 8 o'clock in the morning. The meeting starts. That's when we worship God in truth and in spirit. And also on Monday like this, we come here for exposition of the word of God. Like we used to tell each one of us, it's a Bible school. Wherein we sit down and the Spirit of God minister unto us through the man of God. And as you come from time to time, the word of God be life and spirit unto you in Jesus' name. On Thursday, we meet also in the evening time. The time differs from one location to another, but probably by 6 o'clock. By the grace of God, it's a time for the time that we have evangelism training service. And when we are taught, and we learn on how to reach out to other people. And also when we are taught on how to move mountains and problems out of our lives. And by the grace of God, as we endeavor to come to every weekly meeting, graciously, the hand of the Lord will touch you. And your life will not remain the same again in Jesus' name. Other announcement. Mini Congress we hold at the various selected old district location from 23rd, that is from this coming Thursday through Sunday, 26th. For those who didn't attend the major congress at DSCC, you ought to be there from this Thursday. Let's bear that in mind. While tomorrow, the leaders' development meeting also will hold here. The Lord will bless us together in Jesus' name. I said the Lord will bless us together in Jesus' name. Let's rise upon our feet as we offer unto God our tithe and offering. Before we offer, I will read from book of Proverbs chapter 3, from verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and the first fruit of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Whatever you want to give to God cheerfully tonight, you can raise it up as we pray together. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for the privilege we have to offer unto you willingly and cheerfully this token out of the abundance you have given us. We pray, Lord, that you accept this tithe and offering from us in Jesus' name. According to your promise, we pray that your blessing will be released upon each one of us in Jesus' name. For those who do not have to give tonight, Lord, we pray, as they offer unto you their heart, accept their heart and give them open door to break through in life in Jesus' name. Thank you because of answered. Jesus' name, we pray. You can drop the offering to the bags being passed around while we still keep waiting, standing. Drop the offering to the bags being passed around. We sing together from Gospel Hymn and Song 135, 135. Tell me the old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me that story slowly, that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me that story often, for I forget so soon, the early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Tell me that story softly, with earnest tones and grave. Remember, I am the sinner whom Jesus came to save. Tell me that story always. If you will really be in any time of trouble, a comforter to me. Tell me the same old story. When you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. Yes, and when that world's glory is dawning on my soul, tell me the old story. Christ Jesus makes thee old. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story of Jesus and his love.
Today we're going to continue with our Bible reading. But before we read, shall we just have a moment of prayer? Father, we're asking that you will open our eyes of understanding as we read your word today. We're asking that relevant passages that really speak to our present needs and problems, spiritually and physically and materially, you will impress upon our hearts. Be with us, enlighten us, instruct us, teach us as we read together now. In Jesus' name, I pray. We'll continue with the reading now.
The book of the prophet Isaiah. The book of the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 5. Chapter 5. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? And now go to. I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself, and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth, shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them, and hath smitten them. And the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. And he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed, nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent, their horses' hoofs shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a lion. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar and lay hold of the prey, and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it. And in that day they shall roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one look unto the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened in the heavens thereof. Chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as a teal tree, and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof.
You have just listened to the Bible reading, and we need to take whatever we have learned to the Lord in prayer. Will you all rise up, please? Talk to the Lord in prayer. You've seen a commandment, a warning, an example, an instruction to obey, a promise to claim. Pray for grace that you will do as you have learned in the Word of God. In Jesus' name, we pray.
and the children sing through all we left behind. May the truth that they discover and the lies that they uncover become the light that leads them to the road that it must find.
Praise the Lord. Everybody, I said, praise the Lord. I welcome everyone to our Bible study tonight. For those who are coming for the first time, we're so happy you are here. And we pray you'll keep coming, that the Lord will perfect everything concerning your life in Jesus' name. For the old timers, where are the old timers? The Lord keep you learning. And what you learn will benefit every one of us in Jesus' name. Make you stronger. Take you higher. Go deeper in the things of the Lord in Jesus' name. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the Bible study. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your spirit. Revealing deep things to everyone as we come. We're asking tonight, you open the pages of the scripture and expound everything to us in Jesus' name. And the appropriate grace, that will go along with your revelation of the word you give to everyone tonight in Jesus' name. Because the men, the women, the members, the ministers, we ought to be. We pray, Lord, to touch the life of everyone. Our children, our youths, our students, our fathers and mothers, adults, everyone, touch us tonight in Jesus' name. Do something new as we reveal your truth to everyone. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the church of God said, amen. We're coming to Mark chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 13. Mark chapter 10. Reading from verse 13. And he brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer little children, permit little children, allow those little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up, those children, in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them, and blessed them. The Lord will bless every one of us in Jesus' name. That's the passage we're looking at tonight. And the topic of our study tonight is the necessity of childlikeness in kingdom citizens. Those who are going to enter the kingdom of God, those who are allowed to become citizens of the kingdom, the Lord wants them to have the heart of a child, the attitude of a child, the disposition of a child. In fact, it says, if we do not have that attitude, that disposition, that heart of a child, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. It's so necessary then that we have childlikeness so that we can be citizens of the kingdom of God. The topic again, the necessity of childlikeness in kingdom citizens. We're dividing the message to three parts. Number one, contradictory actions that displease the king. There's a king in the kingdom. And the king of the kingdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, there are actions that displease him. You read that in verse 14. And when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Point number two, childlike acceptance demanded for the kingdom. If we're going to enter the kingdom, if we're going to be partakers of the kingdom, he wants us to have childlike acceptance. That is, the word he preaches, the gospel he gives us, he wants us to have the attitude of a child, the acceptance of a little child. Look at the middle of verse 14. Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, certainly, assuredly I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he cannot enter therein. Point number three, Christ's acknowledged blessings distributed with kindness. Christ's acknowledged blessings distributed with kindness. Look at verse 16. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. May God bless all our children in Jesus' name. God bless all our parents in Jesus' name. And God bless the whole church in Jesus' name. We're coming back to point number one. Contradictory actions that displease the king. What does that mean? Actions that are contrary to the action the king, Christ, would have taken. Actions that go contrary to the will of the king, the word of the king. Actions that go contrary to the purpose of the king. Contradictory actions that displease the king. Come back to Mark chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 13. And he brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. You can tell here that the action of the disciples of Christ displeased him. In fact, it says he was much displeased. What are the things that displease the Lord? Because we need to understand from what we have read here that there are actions, there are attitudes, there are behaviors, there are things people do that displease the Lord. Number one, you can tell, hindering other souls' salvation. That displeases the Lord. When people are brought to the Lord, he wants to touch them. He wants to transform them. He wants to change them. He wants to prepare them for the kingdom. He wants them to enter into the kingdom of God. And when anyone, a disciple, a minister, a preacher, a follower of Christ, hinders those souls from getting to the Savior and getting to salvation, that displeases the Lord. Number two, driving sinners away from Christ. When these people came and they brought their children, that Christ will touch them. They didn't allow them. They didn't want them to come. They want to disallow them. They drove them away. You can't see the Lord. That displeases the Lord. If you have come to know the Lord, and you are a servant of God, you are a disciple of the Lord, other people now want to come, and you judge it unfit. You judge it not right, that they will not come near Christ, and you drive sinners away from Christ. That displeases the Lord much. Number three, erecting barriers between the lost and the shepherd. When you make an invisible wall, but it's a wall all the same, a wall of demarcation, and you separate those people who are lost from getting to the shepherd, that much displeases the Lord. Number four, when you walk contrary to the Lord has come for everyone. He wants everyone saved. He wants everyone coming to him, touching him, he touching them, getting saved, being transformed, and you walk contrary to that purpose of the Lord. He came that sinners might be saved. He came that people might come to know the Lord, and you walk contrary to the Lord, that displeases the Lord. Number five, where there's hardness of heart. The Lord wanted their hearts to be so soft that anyone that came to him, there'll be a doorway, there'll be the gate to get to the Lord. But then, instead of being a gate, instead of being a door, they closed the door, and their hearts were hardened against people that wanted to come to the Lord. When your heart is like that, and you're not thinking of people's salvation, you're not thinking of their healing, you're not thinking of their association with the Lord, you're not thinking of their conversion, That hardness of heart displeases the Lord. Number six, lack of love for parents and children. When you look at children and you're not thinking of their own joy, their own happiness, you're not thinking of their desire, you're not thinking of their parents either, and you do not have the love that Christ has to those parents, that Christ has to those children, say, no, no, it doesn't have time for you. You're not the kind of person he wants to associate with. When you have lack of love for parents and children, that much displeases the Lord. Lack of faith. When you lack faith in the Lord, and you do not think that faith will extend to all the people that may come, the down and out, the up and high, the people that are far away, all people that come, when you don't have faith that the Lord will take in everyone, you think he'll take in this one, he'll take in that one, but he will not take everybody. That lack of faith in God displeases the Lord. Number eight, when you do not have the mind of Christ, let this mind be you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Christ has this mind, a passionate mind, a compassionate mind, a loving hand, a loving mind, a mind that attracts people to himself. But you don't have that mind, you have a different mind. Not having the mind of Christ, that displeases the Lord. Number nine, willful sin. Willful sin. If you have been with the Lord for 1 week, you'll be with the Lord for 1 month. You understand his heart. You understand his mind. You understand what had taken place before when a woman of the Syrophoenician woman was coming after the Lord, and they said, cast this woman away, send her away, because she cries after us. And then he said, I cannot give the children's bread to dogs. And the woman came and said, yes, Lord. Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs under the table. And he said, great is your faith. They would have known the mind of Christ. They would have known what Christ would have wanted if, as the children were brought unto him. Willful sin, willful disobedience then displeases the Lord. Let's look at those verses again. I'm reading from chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 13. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And the disciples rebuked those that brought them. But Jesus, when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians, I'm reading from chapter 2, the things that displease the Lord. And you want to check up your own life, check up your own attitude, check up your own heart, and check up your disposition. How do you do your own Christian ministry and your own Christian life? What are the things you do that may be displeasing the Lord? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm reading from verse 14. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Look at verse 15. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. They please not God. They are contrary to all men. They are contrary to the joy of people, contrary to their salvation, contrary to their coming to the Lord, and that displeases the Lord. Verse 16, for being able to speak to the Gentiles, like the disciples drove those parents away, you cannot bring the children, you don't have anything to do with Christ. So the Jews were also saying, there's no reason why you're going to preach to the Gentiles, forbidding to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always. for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. When you separate sinners from the Savior, when you forbid sinners hearing the gospel, when you hinder sinners coming to know the Lord, that displeases the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, I'm reading from chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. You see that? They came out of Egypt. They were saved. They were restored into fellowship with God. And he came wanting to go and planning to go to the land of promise. And it says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. God was displeased concerning them. Why? And what happened? And they were overthrown in the wilderness. And now these things are written for our learning. An example, that for the intent, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. That displeases the Lord. When the Lord has bought us with the blood of the Lamb, the Lord has saved us, and the Lord has given us eternal life, and then we turn around and we lust after evil things. We're not going to please the Lord. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were idolaters. And as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and they were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are reaching for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The Lord was displeased with them because they went back to the things they had forsaken. When you as a Christian, you've left Egypt, you've left the world, you've left all the pollution, all the defilement of the world, and you're on your way to heaven, and then you begin to lust after the things of the world, and you're leaning after the things of the world, and you're murmuring and complaining, and the way gets you discouraged, that displeases the Lord alone. It's not only what the disciples did, yes, what they did displeased the Lord. But when you turn back from the Lord, that also displeases the Lord. We're looking at Numbers, because we're told with many of them, God was not well pleased. What happened to them? What did they do? They didn't please the Lord. And it said, this is a reaching for our learning, upon whom the ends of the world are come, so that we will not do what they did, so we will not displease the Lord. We're coming to Numbers chapter 11, and I'm reading from verse 1. Numbers chapter 11, reading from verse 1. And when the people complained, when the people murmured, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. It displeased the Lord. When you complain about the word of God, you complain about the church, you complain about the leadership, and you murmur and you criticize, that displeases the Lord. In fact, the Bible said that Christ was much displeased. And these people, as they murmured, as they complained, as they grumbled, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And then it says, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the hindermost parts of the camp. Look at verse 10. In verse 10 it says, then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly Moses also was displeased when you cry for nothing, superficial things. You forget the grace has given you. You forget your own salvation. You forget the manna you are collecting every day. You forget the water out of the rock that you have been drinking. You forget the goodness of the Lord towards you. And then a minor discomfort, a little sin, you begin to murmur and cry and weep. Is this how we're going to go on? What about this? What about that? That displeases the Lord as well. I come into Deuteronomy chapter 9. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, here we're reading from verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 9, reading from verse 16. The things that displease the Lord, and you want to check up in your own life in this new year. How have you been living your life? How do you use your mouth? How do you use your eyes? How do you use the substance that you have? And how do you react? How do you respond to the way the Lord is leading us in His kingdom? When we do things like the children of Israel did, when we do things like the disciples of Christ did in their ignorance and in their indiscipline and indulgence, God is displeased. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 16. And I looked and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye had turned aside quickly out of the way which the Lord had commanded you. Backsliding displeases the Lord. Turning away from the Lord displeases the Lord. Maybe the leader Moses had gone away for a week or two, or for a few weeks, and then you say, where is that Moses? Where is that leader? We thought he lead us to the land of promise. As today's Moses, we don't know what has become of him. And then you raise up an idol, then you raise up an idea, you raise up a new doctrine, and you raise up a new approach. We don't know what has happened to him. He's gone to the mountain. Maybe he's dead over there. And then you go astray. That displeases the Lord. Look at verse 19. In verse 19, for I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure. You see that? Hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. But the Lord hearkened unto me in that time also. Verse 20. And the Lord was very wroth, very angry with Aaron to have destroyed him. The Lord was angry with Aaron. He was displeased about Aaron. Why? He didn't have any backbone. He was a compromiser. A little sin, a little time. Moses was not around. And then they told him, they said, you know, consider our case. Consider our situation. We know the word of God says this, but look at the way we are. Well, we're going to be following the Lord and following the word of God. And then we are suffering. They were still eating manna every day. We are suffering. The Lord was still protecting them with the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. We are suffering. And the Lord was still shielding them from all their enemies. We are suffering. Make us gods that will go before us. And Aaron, the compromiser, a compromising leader, a compromising preacher, a compromising pastor, a compromising minister who cannot contend earnestly for the word and for the doctrine once delivered unto the saints. That displeases the Lord. When Moses came back and said, Aaron, why have you done this? What have these people done to you that you did this? He said, Moses, my brother, you know the people? They'd be ready to stone me. The people that cannot take any affliction, any opposition, any persecution. They stand for the truth as long as things are all right, as long as people are smiling at them. When there is opposition, a little difficulty, when there is affliction, persecution, they cannot stand. The Lord is angry with such people. I pray as you compare the word of God with your life, or you compare your life with the word of God, if there are things in your life that God is not happy with, that displeases God, you will turn around. I said you will turn around. A new change will come for every one of us in this new year in Jesus' name. We're looking at 2 Samuel, chapter 11. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, I'm reading the last verse there. It's in verse 27. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. And she became his wife and bare him a son. But the sin that David had done displeased the Lord. You understand what David had done? David should have gone to the battlefield. He sent Joab. And Uriah, the husband of Bathsheba, also went to the battlefield. And the husband of this Bathsheba was so faithful, was so honest, was so devoted, and was so disciplined. It was on the battlefield. But then David committed adultery with the wife of such a faithful man in Israel. And so to cover up, he called Uriah, come. And then give him wine to drink, make him drunk. But the man, even in that stage, will not go back home to his wife. And, people said, the king said to him, are you not going to visit your wife so that he will meet with his wife and David can cover up everything? But the man said, the ark of the Lord is on the battlefield. How can I go and take any time of pleasure or rest at home? And so David wrote a letter to this, with this faithful man, honest man, loyal man, and then sent him to the battlefield and instructed Joab to put him in the hard part of the battle, kill him, destroy him. And Joab did that. The man was dead, and David now thought he was at liberty. After all, her husband is dead. I can now take her. And the sin that David did displeased the Lord. We are workers and we are leaders. You are a pastor. You are an overseer. There's a brother that's so faithful. Anything you tell him to do, he'll go and do it. You use his car. You use everything that he has. And yet, as the pastor, as the fellow trusted you as a pastor, you're doing evil with the wife. You are messing up with the wife. What you do displeases the Lord. If you die in that condition, you're going to perish forever. Thank God David repented. But how many people do things like that and they do not have a chance to repent? The Lord have mercy on us. I can't hear my people say amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 21. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, I'm reading from verse 7. There are people that measure the commandments of God. And they measure the things they do. They say this one is small. They say this one is minute. They say this one does not matter. Look at 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I'm reading from verse 7. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 7. And God was displeased with this sin. Therefore, he smote Israel. What happened? David just woke up one day. All the victory that God had given him, even himself alone, without any other warrior, without any soldier to go with him, God always gave him the victory. He was not looking away from God. He wanted to know the number in his army. And he told Joab to go and count them. And Joab said, why are you going to do that? The Lord has always been giving us the victory. He said, I am the king. I told you to go and count them. And he went and counted them because his mind was turned away from the Lord. Not depending upon the Lord anymore, but depending upon the number in his army. And it says, and the sin that he did was displeasing unto the Lord. And David said unto God in verse 8, I have sinned greatly because I have done the sin. But now I beseech thee, do away with the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. There are people in their Christian lives, the Lord is not in their thought. Whatever they do, they just do. And they will tell themselves, that's a little sin, that's a minor sin. Because it is minor, I don't need to pray about that one. I don't need to read the word of God about that one. I don't need to seek out the way of God and the will of God concerning this. But the Lord wants us to check up from him what we're doing and what we ought to do. When God is not in our thought, all I want to do is, Joab, go and do that. Joab, go and go to that place. Joab, go to the other place. And Joab is even feeling the discomfort and is saying, would this be right? Is this the way we should go? Are we depending upon the arm of flesh? Are we depending upon the Lord? David said, don't bring in God now. Don't bring in the word of God. What I tell you to do, go and do. And we displease the Lord by not thinking about what we do, whether it aligns with the word of God or not. Look at Psalm 10. In Psalm 10, I'm reading from verse 4. Psalm 10, verse 4. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. God is not in all his thoughts. When you plan your life, God is not in your thoughts. You travel, God is not in your thoughts. You have associations, God is not in your thoughts. You want to make money, God is not in your thoughts. You're just going through life like a blind man. And the light of the gospel is shining, and you shield yourself from the light of the gospel. God not in your thoughts. That displeases the Lord. We're coming to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59. We're reading from verse 12. Isaiah 59. Reading from verse 12. In verse 12, here is what the word of God says. For transgressions are multiplied before him. When you live your life and you transgress this way, transgress that way, and you just live anyhow until transgressions multiply and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. As for our iniquities, we know them. You know them, and there's no plan to repent. You know them, there's no plan to make restitution. You know them, there's no way, there's no plan to return from them. You know you don't have the clear conscience of a righteous child of God. But you keep on doing what you are doing. There's guilt there. There's condemnation there. There's the knowledge that you are not living right. And you know, it says, in transgressing and living against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. You tell lies. You deceive. And it just comes readily like that. Because now you've gone into the habit of, you want to protect yourself. You want to look good before the people. You want to have your way. Sometimes you are telling the lie to cover somebody else. Sometimes you are telling the lie to cover an action you have taken. It says, we have uttered words of falsehood. In verse 14, the judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For the truth is falling in the street, and equity cannot enter. Look at verse 15 now. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departed from evil maketh himself a prey. The one who lives by the word, the one who preaches by the word, the one who stands by the word, he becomes the prey. He becomes the people you jump over, and the people you say, why are you so straightforward? Why are you so narrow-minded? Why are you so keeping to the word of God? And that offends you when you do that, and the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. It displeased him that there was no truth. As you look at the word of God, you understand the things that displease God. We're coming to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm reading from verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11. Reading from verse 6. It says in verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. Are you walking by faith? Are you living by faith? Are you talking by faith? Are you living your Christian life by faith? Are you doing everything you do with your faith in God intact? I know God is on the throne. I know this is the will of God, and that may not be the way of the world, and the world may be opposed to me because I go that way, but I'm going to live by faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The things that displease the Lord, hindering other souls from salvation, driving sinners away from Christ, erecting barriers between the lost and the shepherd, and walking contrary to the way of the Lord, hardness of heart, lack of love for parents and children, lack of faith in God, not having the mind of Christ, or willful sin, all those things displease the Lord. As the Lord speaks to us and we discover the things that displease the Lord in our lives, by the grace of God, we'll turn away from them. We'll repent of them. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, will wash every one of us whiter than snow in Jesus' name. Point number two now. Childlike acceptance demanded for the kingdom. Demanded by the king. If we are going to enter the kingdom of God, we need the acceptance of the word of God in a childlike way, with a childlike mind. Come to Mark chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 14, the middle part of verse 14. Suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, whosoever will not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. He wants us to accept the word of God. You hear about repentance, you accept as a little child. About restitution, you accept as a little child. About regeneration, ye must be born again, you accept as a little child. Infant baptism cannot save, you accept as a little child. Could your tears forever flow and your zeal no longer know? All that for sin cannot atone, you accept as a little child. All the religion that you practice and the worship, superficial worship that you render, all that cannot save, you accept as a little child. And accept righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of those religious Pharisees. You can in no wise enter the kingdom of God. You accept as a little child. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You accept as a little child. It is only that childlike acceptance demanded for the kingdom by the king that allows us to enter into the kingdom of God. When it says, look at this in chapter 10, I'm reading from verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. What does that mean? Accept his word like a little child. The child comes to the world, and a child is not going to create a new language. The language the parents are speaking, he accepts, she accepts, that's the right language. The word, the precept, the things to do, that's fire. He didn't know fire, don't touch it. That's bleach, don't take it. That's stove, don't touch it. He didn't know any of that, but he accepted everything. That's a child. And when you are told the word of God and you accept like a child, that's how to get to the kingdom of God. Number one, you accept his word. Number two, you accept his will. This is the will of God. And this is what you do. You are not reasoning. You are not asking why. You are not saying, but can't I have my own way? The little child does not know there's any other way. There's any other will. The will that the father, the mother reveals, that little child accepts that. Number three, you accept his way. This is the way of righteousness. And this is the way of serving the Lord. And if you, there's no alternative, that's the thing to do. And the little child will accept. And the Lord wants us to accept his word, his will, his way, his wisdom. The little child does not try to match his puny wisdom or the wisdom of the father or the mother. The wisdom of the father has spoken. That's the school to go. That's the place to go. And that little child knows that that is the ultimate. That's the final. You accept his warning like a little child. The Lord will warn us. The Lord has been warning us. And the Lord gives one. The parents give warning to the children. You won't go that way. That will destroy your life. You won't go that way. That will hinder your progress. Number one, you accept his word like a child. You accept his will like a child. You accept his way like a child. You accept his wisdom like a child. You accept his warning like a child. Number six, you accept his weight like a child. There are times the parents will have to tell the children, I want this, I want to eat this, I want to wear this, I want this. And the parents will say, this is not the time, wait. And the child has no choice. That child accepts because that little child trusts the parents. There are times the Lord will tell you, wait. And you are not saying, why should I wait? I cannot wait. That's how you said the other time, wait all the time, wait all the time. I'm fed up. I cannot wait. A little child will not do that. That's what the Lord is saying. He's saying you will accept his weight like a little child. Number seven, you accept his watchmen. You accept his watchmen. The people he has sent to be your teacher and to be your leader, and to lead you in the right way. You accept like a child. A child is sent to school, and a child does not come back the first day after school. Daddy, I don't like that teacher. Daddy, mommy, I don't like that teacher. I want another teacher. I want another school. Like a little child, a saint, watch me, my Saint Jeremiah, my Saint Isaiah, my Saint Micah, my Saint Peter, my Saint Paul, who was an injurious man, now he's converted. You accept his watchmen like a little child. That's what the Lord was telling them. Come back to Mark chapter 10. And I'm reading from verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. How does a little child accept? Number one, no argument. You see the people who argue with the word of God. Why repentance? Can't I just believe? Why holiness? Can't I just believe? Why restitution? Can't I just believe? They're not receiving the word of God, the will of God, the way of God, like a little child. For that little child, no argument. Number two, no alteration. No alteration. The little child doesn't know any better. What you tell the child is what the child understands. And there is no alteration, no going to the backyard and changing, altering what the child had been told. Number three, no arrogance. No arrogance. I can't take that. I won't take that. I know better than that. I can tell you something higher, something better. What you have told me is not right. That's not the word for a little child. There's no arrogance. Number four, there's no addition. No addition. You won't be adding to the word of God, adjusting the word of God, measuring the word of God, doing it your own way, adding local herbs and adding local proverbs and adding all those traditional things. There's no addition. Number five, there's no annulment. You'll not annul. You'll not cancel the word of God and say, no, I reject that. I do away with that. I throw that one away. There is no annulment of the word of God. Number six, there's no abandonment. You'll not abandon the word of God and then be following utter vanity. A little child, when a child hears, does what the parents have said, this is what to do. I'm not talking of those who have grown up and they have learned the way of the world and the way of rebellion. We're talking about little children who do not know how to do any of these things. No abandonment of the word of God. Number seven, no alternative. No alternative. I won't come back home. It's when they have, you know, gone to the streets and they have seen what other children are doing. But the little toddler, the little child, there's no alternative. He knows that this is where God has placed me and I'm going to be there. And I pray God will help us that we'll receive the word of God like a little child in Jesus' name. Did I hear any amen on the floor? Look at Psalm 131, Psalm 131, receiving the word, receiving his way, receiving his will, receiving the warning, receiving his wisdom, receiving the watchman and receiving the weight like a little child. In Psalm 131, I'm reading from verse 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty. Nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters, in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child. I'm not looking for high things. I'm not arrogant. I'm not haughty. I'm not looking for alternative. I have behaved myself and quieted myself as a child that is weaned from his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. We're looking at Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We're reading from verse 3. Matthew chapter 18. Reading from verse 3. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Actually, Jesus was talking to his disciples. They had left all and they were following him. But they were so occupied with position seeking. Who will be the greatest among us? Who will be the number one among us? Who is the most important among us? Who has the best title among us? And Jesus said unto them, you know what? You're coming out, following after me, will not guarantee you're getting to the kingdom of God because except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. Whosoever, Peter, pay attention. Whosoever, James, pay attention. Whosoever, John, pay attention. Whosoever, Matthew, pay attention. Whosoever, therefore, shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Why are we going to be in church and not get to the kingdom of God? That's what you were in another church before. And when you saw that the way of that church, the words in that church, your service in that church will not get you to heaven. That's why you came here. That's why you have the word of repentance. That's why you went on your knees and you wept bitter tears and you were converted. Now, if we now slide back to a kind of life that will not see the kingdom of God, not get to the kingdom of God, what's the use? Why didn't we continue in the places we were that wouldn't take us to the kingdom of God? We must be wise. You'll be wise. I said you'll be wise. Whosoever, these are the words of Christ, whosoever therefore shall not humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It tells us in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'm reading from verse 3. In John chapter 3, reading from verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man, a moral man, a religious man, except a man, a Jewish man, except a man, a church-going man, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4, Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus, you know what? We don't argue with the Savior. He came from heaven. He came to reveal to us how to get to the kingdom of God. And he has now said, except you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Argument will not solve the problem. Be a child. Alteration, altering the word of God. Can I not be a good Pharisee, a righteous Pharisee, a devoted Pharisee, and a worshiping Pharisee, a church-going Pharisee, and still get to heaven? Alteration will not solve the problem. Arrogance cannot solve the problem. I'm a ruler in the land of Israel. How do you tell me I still must be born again? Addition, subtraction will not solve the problem. Annulling, canceling the word that Christ has spoken, you must be born again, will not solve your problem. If you leave Christ now, Nicodemus, and you abandon what he has told you, that you must be born again, if you abandon that word, you'll be lost forever. There's no alternative. You must be born again. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and the works of the flesh will heed you. The life of the flesh will he live. The actions of the flesh will he commit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And the thing to do is to receive that, accept that as a little child. As a little child. We're looking at 1 Peter. 1 Peter, Reading from chapter 1, 1 Peter, chapter 1, and we're reading from verse 14. 1 Peter, chapter 1, reading from verse 14. In verse 14 it says, and as obedient children, that's how to get to the kingdom of God. You hear the word of God, you've not seen heaven, Christ came from heaven. You don't know the way to heaven, Christ knows the way to heaven. And you do not know who are there, how they got there, Christ knows who are there and how they got there. And if you're going to get to heaven, you must be an obedient child. When he tells you, this is the way, walk ye therein. If your interest is not just coming to church, religious practice, and you are, you know, like another denomination, if that's not your interest, you must be obedient to the word, like a little child as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former laws in your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Look at chapter 2. We're looking at verse 2. Chapter 2, reading from verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that she may grow thereby. Little children, they desire the milk. They ask for the milk. They don't shun the milk. The same way, if you're going to be in the kingdom, and you're going to grow in the kingdom, you will desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We're coming to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, as a little child, as a little child. In Genesis chapter 17, I'm reading from verse 10. Genesis chapter 17, verse 10. This is my covenant, which ye shall keep between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Now the child has been born, born again. And on the eighth day, they are going to circumcise the child. And the child is looking, what's that? What's that? What are you going to do with me? What do you call this one? He doesn't understand, but all the same, the little child will be circumcised. Look at verse 12. He that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you. Every man child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed, all the same shall be circumcised. Verse 14. And your circumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Circumcision for the child. The child cannot argue. The child cannot say, I don't like that one. I don't accept that one. You accept your child, and you accept the kingdom of God as a child. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're looking at verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 30, reading from verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart. And we have to accept that, because that's the will of God. That's the word of God. That's the way of the Lord. He wants us, after we are saved, to be circumcised in heart and to be sanctified. And we cannot be saying, well, that other church does not preach holiness. That other church does not preach circumcision. That other church does not preach sanctification. That's not your problem. You have known it, you have heard it, that this is the word of God for every child in the land of Israel, every child in the family, and you receive and you accept the word of God without argument. Verse 6, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed Those are the children. To love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. That's the purpose. And with all thy soul, that thou mightest live. I pray that this that Christ has emphasized, that if we're going to get to the kingdom of God, if we're going to abide in the kingdom of God, we receive the word, we accept the word as a little child, you will in Jesus' name. We will in Jesus' name. Look at Mark chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever, think about that, whosoever. There are times, you know, people come to church. When you come for the first time, for the first month, for the first year, they're all ears. They're hearing the word. They're soaking in the word. Then they become workers. They become ministers. They become leaders. They have this position, that position. All of a sudden, the higher they go, the cooler they become. And it appears the word of God does not matter anymore. They hear the word, they come to the Bible study, they come to the services, but they are not as passionate for the word like they used to be in days gone by. They hear the word the following hour, they are forgotten. The following day, they are forgotten. There are corrections to make in their lives. There are adjustments to make in their lives so they can align their lives to the word of God, but nothing is happening. Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. I pray we'll enter the kingdom of God. We'll abide in the kingdom of God, and nothing will take us away from the kingdom in Jesus' name. Point number three now, Christ's acknowledged blessings distributed with kindness. He distributes his blessing. But who does he distribute the blessing to? Come to Mark chapter 10, verses 15 and 16. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he said during the message, it's not just children. The children that have learned the ways of the world, the children that already know how to be violent, the children that already know the ways that are not good. Look at this. Number one, he's talking about a little child. Little child. We're coming to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I'm reading from verse 4. Matthew chapter 18, and we're reading from verse 4. He wants us to be little in our heart. He wants us to have the kingdom of God like a little child. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself, he's talking to the adults, he's talking to everyone, he's talking to those who want to get to the kingdom, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Number two, it's actually talking about a lowly child, a lowly child. Look at Matthew chapter 11, reading from verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. It's saying you must be as lowly as a child. It's talking about a living child. He didn't bring a dead child before them to say, look at this dead child, receive, accept the word as this dead child. A dead child cannot receive anything, cannot accept anything. He wants us to be as a little child, as a lowly child, as a living child. Living, not dead in sins and trespasses. We're looking at 1 Kings chapter 3. In 1 Kings chapter 3, I'm reading from verse 7. First Kings chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 7. Look at that. Kings chapter 3. Actually, I'm looking for 2 Kings chapter 3. Sorry, let's go back to that First Kings chapter 3. And I'm reading from verse 7. All right, I'll get the verse. The verse is talking about the little problem that happened between those two women. And one woman said, the living child is mine. And the other one said, the living child is mine. And then Solomon proposed something that he will do so that the mother of the living child will come out, will be revealed. I'm looking now at verse 17. In verse 17, the one woman said, oh my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass that the third day after I was delivered, this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at the midnight and took my son that from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this woman said, no, the dead, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Does this speak before the king? Verse 23. And then said the king, the one said, this is my son that liveth, and this thy son is the dead. And the other said, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. The king said, bring me a sword. And he brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise lay it. But the other said, let it neither be mine nor thine, but divide it. And the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it, for she is the mother thereof. When the Lord said we must receive the gospel and the kingdom as a little child, you know what he meant? A little child, yes. A lowly child. A living child. You see, the child must be alive. If the child is alive, that's how he can receive the gospel. And if anyone is dead in sins and trespasses, a father, a mother, a preacher, a bishop, and even a child and a youth, if he's dead in sins and trespasses, he cannot receive. He cannot even learn. You must be a little child at heart, a lowly child at heart, a living child at heart, a liberated child, liberated child. If the devil has bound their heart, if the devil has captured their heart, and they are not liberated from evil spirit, evil power, and from sorcery, they cannot receive the word of God. If you're influenced by Lucifer, if you're influenced by Satan, if you're influenced by familiar spirit, you cannot accept the word of God. You must be a liberated child. You must have the heart and the life of a liberated child. In Mark chapter 9. I'm reading from verse 21. Mark chapter 9, reading from verse 21. And of times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, and the Lord said, and Christ our Savior said, as Christ was teaching his own disciples, this father came with the child. The child had been bound, and the child had been tormented, and the child had been under the spell and under the yoke of an evil spirit. In that way, that child can receive nothing. That child cannot receive the kingdom of God. It is when the child is liberated from evil spirit, liberated from evil power, liberated from a binding spirit, a binding yoke, that's the only time that child will learn. The same thing with any adult, the same thing with anyone. When the sower sows the word, and then he doesn't understand, the Satan comes and he takes away the word that was sown in his heart. You must be liberated like a little child, like a lowly child, like a living child, like a liberated child. In verse 23, it says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Number 5, you'll be a leaning child. Do you see how little children, they depend so much on their parents, they lean on them. They lean on them. You're leaning upon the Lord. In your heart, you're not separated. In your heart, you're not dissociated. In your heart, you're not running away. You're leaning upon the Lord like a leaning child. Those are the people that can receive the kingdom of God. Not the people that are so independent and the people that are so indifferent, and they go their way every time you lean on him. We're looking at John. I'm reading from chapter 13 and verse 23. John chapter 13, and I'm reading from verse 23. It says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. There is love between you and the Savior. You love him. You love his word. You love his declaration. And you're a loving child, a leaning child. Those are the people that can receive the kingdom of God. But those people whose hearts are hardened, those people whose hearts are independent, those people whose hearts are wayward, and they're not leaning upon the Lord, they cannot have the kingdom of God as they ought to have. I pray every one of us will receive the kingdom of God as a little child, as a lowly child, as a living child, as a liberated child, as a leaning child, as a longing child. What does that mean? When your soul is longing, you're eager, you want what the Lord has, and you're a child longing for home, a child longing for your parents, a child that loves the parents so much, you're longing, you're desirous, you want everything they have to offer. And it's the longing child, it's the one that has that longing heart. He wants the word of God. He's not fed up with the word of God. He's longing. Those are the people that receive the gospel, and they receive the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God becomes beneficial unto them. In Psalm 119, I'm reading from verse 14. Psalm 119, verse 40. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. I'm longing. I'm desirous. I want it. I'm not, thinking that's enough. I've had enough milk. I've had enough word. I've had enough water. I've had enough attention. I've had enough instruction. I am longing. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts, quicken me in thy righteousness. Look at verse 131 there. Psalm 119, verse 131. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Those are the people that can have the kingdom of God and the benefits of the kingdom of God. Their hearts are longing. They're longing children. Look at verse 174. In verse 174, it says, I have longed for thy salvation. If he knows, if he doubts salvation, he says, that's the greatest sin I have on earth. That's the greatest sin I can have. Just coming to church without salvation, what will that pay me? And just reading the Bible without salvation, what will that profit me? I have longed for thy salvation. O Lord, thy law is my delight. Those are the people that receive benefit from the kingdom of God. You have a heart like that of a little child, a lowly child, a living child, a liberated child, a leaning child, a longing child, a lamb-like child, lamb-like child. Not like lion-hearted, not like wild, like a wolf, but lamb-like child. We're looking at Acts of the Apostles. I'm reading from chapter 8 and verse 32. Acts chapter 8, verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. This is a child who is all ears, eager to hear. Not, the parents are talking, he's talking. The teachers are talking, he's talking. And they have, blah, 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 noise making and all that. But a lamb-like child that is so eager to sink in the word of God, soak in the word of God, receive the word of God. Those are the people that will be blessed with the blessings of the kingdom. I pray you'll be like that. I said, I pray you'll be like that. Look at Psalm 45. Psalm 45. I'm reading from verse 2. The blessing that he gives his people who are in the kingdom because they have the heart of a little child. In Psalm 45, verse 2, thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy leaves. Therefore, God has blessed thee forever. Because you are that kind of child at heart, that's why it says God has blessed you forever. Looking at Psalm 147, Psalm 147, I'm reading from verse 13. Psalm 147, reading from verse 13. For he has strengthened the bars of thy gates. He has blessed thy children within thee. When we have the right heart and we come to hear the word of God, when we have the right heart and we receive and accept the totality of the word of God, like little children, that's how he blesses us. He maketh peace in thy borders and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. His word runneth very swiftly. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. We're reading from verse 32. You have the right heart, the right kind of heart, and you receive and you accept the word, then the blessings flow in our lives. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction. and be wise. Hear instruction. Don't disregard instruction. Don't harden your heart against instruction. Don't throw instruction away. The word that brings salvation, hear and be wise. And refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me seek death. They love death. Look at Proverbs chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. Proverbs chapter 20, verses 7 and 8. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. When you are a father, you are a mother, and you are walking in integrity, your children will learn how you receive the word, how you cherish the word, how you obey the word, how you make the word a priority in your life. And your children will follow, and the children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Verse 11, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right. I pray that the blessing of the word will be upon every one of us. Salvation for everyone. Sanctification for everyone. Holy Ghost baptism for everyone. Healing for everyone. Strength for everyone. Vision for everyone, and a new 2020 accomplishment for everyone in Jesus' name. John, 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You'll be like him. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. A person who receives the gospel like a child will not reject that, will not doubt that, will not say, I cannot be pure, I cannot be righteous, I cannot be holy. You receive the word like a little child, like a lowly child, like a living child, like a liberated child, like a leaning child. You receive the word like a child whose heart is longing after the best of God. And it says, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Look at verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. All works of the devil will be destroyed in every life. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. You'll be a child of God. And the devil will not have the upper hand in your life in Jesus' name. Chapter 5, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. That's the blessing of the child of God. That wicked one will not touch you. He'll not touch you with sin. He'll not touch you with sickness. He'll not touch you with oppression. He'll not touch you with evil. The Lord will preserve your life as you receive the word of God like a little child in Jesus' name. No argument, amen. I said no argument, amen. No alteration, amen. No arrogance, amen. No addition, amen. No annulment, amen. No abandonment, amen. No anger, amen. No animosity, amen. And there is no alternative. You'll abide in the word of God, and the blessings of God will be overloaded in your life in Jesus' name. Let's rise up and take whatever we've learned to the Lord in prayer. The necessity of childlikeness in kingdom citizens. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer before you go.
You have just heard the word of God. That you and I, as we are learning from the feet of Christ, we will not hinder other souls from being saved. We will not erect any barrier between the lost soul and the shepherd. Plead with God, if there be any way we have been obstructing others from knowing Christ, we repent and we amend. Let's plead with him. We will walk not contrary to the purpose of Christ. We know why he came, to seek the lost and to save them. That God will help us to walk in the footstep of the Lord. We will not allow hardness of heart against the people that want to come in. We have a heart and the mind of Christ. Let's plead with him. If we have met him, the mind of Christ must develop in us. We should not lack love for parents and children. As Jesus loved all, we must love. Let's ask him to give us help, grace. Without grace of God, we cannot do this. But my grace is sufficient for you, says the Lord. Let's plead with him tonight. Grace to walk in his will, in his way. Grace to do what is right in his sight, he will give us. Lack of faith, God displeases with that. Is our word we speak a word of faith or word of fear? Our relationship with people, does it create fear in them or bring them out of fear? If we don't have faith, we will not be able to bring souls in. Christ has not rejected any. No matter what happens to that on earth, he can turn the madman of Gadara and make him evangelist. He can make Mary Magdalene deliver her and make her a virtuous woman. He can make injurious Paul to become an apostle. Let's plead with God. We will see people with the eyes of faith. Apostle said, we have the same spirit of faith. We believe. Therefore, have I spoken. Let's plead with God.